Okay, as I said, just we're going to be starting in verse 8 of chapter 13 of Revelation. Let's see here. And before, let's see. We'll read from 8 to 10 real quick here. And the angel and another angel, a second one, followed him, saying, Fallen is Babylon the Great, she who made all the nations drink of the wine of the passion of her immorality. Then another angel, a third, followed. Oh, I'm sorry, I am in the wrong chapter. It's a great start. So, okay, here we go. So y'all were probably wondering where I was. All who dwell on earth will worship him, everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who has been slain. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is destined for captivity, to captivity he goes. If anyone kills with the sword he must be killed. Here is the perseverance and the faith of the saints. Okay? In 8, it says, all who dwell on the earth will worship him. Who's the him that they're talking about? In Revelation. What's that? In this, they're talking about the beast, okay? And the beast doesn't represent necessarily one person. The beast that they're talking about is, well, the Caesar is one, because Caesar was. When we think of Caesar, we think of a person.
But it's a whole line.
But Caesar was a title. You had several Caesars, and they were. Caesar was like, today when we think of king, Caesar was the king, okay? And you would say King John or whatever. Well, they would say, you know, Augustus Caesar or whoever, okay? Caesar was the word for king. And when they talk about. It was basically emperor worship was what they were talking about. Caesar was the emperor, okay? And whichever Caesar it happened to be. Let's see. And it says, everyone whose name has not been written in the written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain. Okay? So are we supposed to be worshiping the king? Not if you're in the book of life, okay? So everyone who's, if you're in the book of life, who are you supposed to be worshiping? You're supposed to worship Jesus. And this was to reinforce to these people at this time that they didn't need to be worshiping the Caesar. They needed to be worshiping, they needed to be looking further than Caesar and worshiping God. Okay, let's look at Ephesians 1 through 4. This is when it's nice to have a paper Bible. I wish I had thought to bring one. 1 verse 4. Just as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. Is this saying that if you were a if you're a Christian, that God chose you before the beginning of the world and put your name in the book? It's saying that there was a plan. God had the book, and he said that everybody who follows the plan is in this book of life. Okay? So whenever we look in Revelation and he say the same thing, from the foundation, before the foundation, are they talking about there's a certain book that your name's written in? Your name's in the book if you're obedient to God. It's the same as in Ephesians, okay? It's not my name's in that book necessarily unless I decide that I want to follow God. And that's how your name is in the book. But it wasn't, my name wasn't written there before the world started. It was written there because God laid the plan down. Okay? Yes. Yes. And we see that all throughout the New Testament, that there's things you can do. Many in the world think that your people who have the belief that your name was written in the book before it all began, they also tend to have the belief that, and I can't speak for everybody's belief, so I don't know, but many of the people I have talked to that have hold that belief believe that you can't change it, okay? And that your name's in that book, and there's nothing you can do to change that, okay? That why did the New Testament tell us that we need to be vigilant and that we need to pay attention and we need to watch what we're doing? If you can't change it and there's nothing you can do to make it better, and you could go around being as evil as you want to be, and if your name's in that book, you're saved, then what's the sense in any of it? Okay? It doesn't make sense. It's not logical, and it doesn't follow the rest of the Scripture. That is an idea that we need to be prepared to stand and answer for, because you will meet these people who believe that, and you need to try and be gentle with them and don't tell them that's a bad idea. You know, show them the Scripture and try and lead them into the right understanding. Yes. Yes. Right. That becomes you. That's your choice. God gave you the plan where you could get in that book. You have to take that plan. And you have to, I mean, it is a free gift. He says, here it is. Come and take it. But you got to come and take it. You can't just sit there and keep doing whatever you're doing and never listen to what he has to say and expect that he's, you know, you're going to get it. Nothing works like that in life. So, let's see in verse 9. Now see, that's why I wish I'd brought a, I can't see this stuff, so that's what happens when you get old eyes. See, I really couldn't see that. I got the print really. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. If you're saved no matter what, because your name's in a book, why would you need to hear?
I know a lot of friends of mine who say, because God knows what's best for you.
Yes, he does. And he tells you to hear.
Anything to your saving. It's not they. It's like they have the right pieces. They just put them in the wrong order.
Yes. No action you perform can save you, because you couldn't have saved yourself. God has that plan, and that is his ability. No matter what I want to do throughout my life, and I could be as perfect as possible, I can't save myself. I mean, the most perfect man in the world, you know, couldn't save himself, you know.
It's like they look at individual...
No matter how good you are. That's one of the reasons that you need to study to show yourself approved, because that comes from having a broader understanding of Scripture. If you don't have the broad understanding of Scripture, you get trapped in little areas. Well, faith saves, you know, and so then, well, that must be all, right? Because I hadn't read the other part. it's a lack of knowledge and a lack of application. And people can have really good intentions and be wrong. And I can have really good intentions and be wrong. I mean, that's a scary thought. Your intentions don't save you. Obedience does, okay? So, actually, your obedience doesn't save you, God does. But he tells us we have to be obedient. So, and in here, let's see, 9, we're told to hear, so there must be something that we need to hear. Let's see. In verse 10, if anyone is destined for captivity, in captivity he goes. If anyone kills with the sword he must be killed. Here is the perseverance in the faith of the saints. Okay? This verse seems to be about the saints and how their actions should be. Okay? What's it telling the saints at this time? Do you think? If you're
persevere.
Okay. There was a lot of rebellion by the Jews against the Romans. Was it the Maccabee Revolt was one of them? There were several revolts against the Romans, and the Jews were big about. There was a lot of groups within the Jews that were violent. Okay, in that time period, trying to revolt against the Romans, they didn't like the Roman rulership. And so part of this is saying that if you want to be like those, if you want to be like the Maccabees and the others who are in the sword, going with the sword against the Romans, then that's probably going to how you're going to die. And if you're in captivity, stay in captivity, but persevere, whatever it is. Let's see. It's telling you not to resist the authority at the time. If you're in captivity, just remain in captivity. It says not to resist the. If we might find in Romans 13, chapter 2. I mean, Romans chapter 13, verse 2. See, I'm just really stumbling over my words here. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. Okay? So, we're not to resist authority, and this doesn't change that. This verse tells us if you're in captivity, stay in captivity, and not to be going to war against the Roman government. Okay? Because we understand the emperor, the Roman government, is the beast in this passage here. We're also told, let's look at Luke 12, 4. And you see, these people were under a lot of pressure to renounce God. Okay? And they were, when it talks about them being in captivity, they were imprisoned. They were put in jails. They were tortured. They were killed for their beliefs. Okay? And the book of Revelation is telling us that you can be in captivity, you can be tortured. All that stuff doesn't really matter. Because in the end, it's not who can kill you here that's going to matter. It's who can kill you forever. That's what matters. And we look at Luke 12, verse 4. And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who will kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I warn you whom to fear. Fear the one who after he has killed has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you to fear him. So it's telling you, fear God, don't fear the Romans. All that they can do is they can kill you with the sword, or they can put you in captivity. They could torture you, they can do all those things. But it ends eventually. One way or another, it's going to end. And if you cave into them and give into their evil, then it won't end. Okay? Because you will fall away from God and you won't be saved. Okay? So we need to resist the evil of the world and remember who can actually punish us. Not for just a little while, but forever. So let's see. Let's look at verses 11 through 18 of Revelation 13. Okay. Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. He exercised all the authority of the first beast in his presence, and he makes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose fatal wound was healed. He performed great signs so that he even makes fires come down from the heaven to the earth in the presence of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs which he has given him, which it was given him to perform in the presence of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image of the beast who had the wound of the sword and has come to life. And it was given to him to give breath to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast would even speak and cause as many as do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. And the cause of all the small and great, and he causes all the small and the great, and the rich and the poor, and the free men and the slaves, to be given a mark on their right hand and on their forehead. And he provides that no one will be able to buy or sell except one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number on his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who understands calculate the number of the beast, for the number of that the number is that of a man, and his number is 666. And Hollywood made a lot of movies. Okay? This has been taken way out of context by Hollywood. And unfortunately, I think that influences a lot of people who want to do what's right, and they want to worship God, but then they watch this, oh, that must be what's right. No. Let's go through this and we'll talk about it. What does the beast represent in this instance? This is a different beast. It's not the Roman Empire. Yes.
Sounds like a religion.
You're right.
Ideology.
The Roman Empire was very tied with their pagan religion. And part of the job of the pagan religion at the time was to promote the emperor. What was the emperor to a Roman? Like the Egyptians, the Romans saw the emperor as a living god. Okay? They looked up to him as if he was God on earth. And let's see. We'll get more into that as we go here. But the religions, the pagan religions, promoted the emperor as God. And they told the people to fall in line and do what he said. That's the sort of thing that they pushed. They were an extension of the Roman government, basically. In all other references, he is known as the false prophet. If we look at 16, verse 13. And then I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet three unclean spirits like frogs. Okay? And let's look at 19:20. And the beast was seized, and with him the false prophet who performed the signs in his presence. Okay? And let's look at 20 verse 10. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet also are. See, when it refers to him in the later verses, he's the false prophet, this beast, the second beast. So it was pagan idolatry in one of its worst forms. It was the worship of Caesars, of the emperors. Let's see. He's described as a. Let's see. And the dragon. Let's see if I can get here. He came out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. Okay? He came out of the earth. The first one came out of the sea, right? And the second one came out of the earth. But he accepted the spirit of the river that came out of the dragon's mouth and swallowed up by the earth. It's in 12:16. He accepts the lies and he believes them. Okay? He promotes them and acts upon them. So this is what I'm talking about. He's teaching these people to worship the Caesars. Okay? But he sounds like a lamb. What does that mean? Looks like a lamb. Yeah. I'm sorry. He had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. I'm sorry, I got it backwards there. Okay. He had two horns as a lamb. He's trying to appear. Who else do we know as a lamb? Jesus.
A lamb is innocent.
A lamb is innocent. He's trying to appear as the lamb, but he's pushing the story of the narrative of the emperors. Okay? He's not innocent. And if we studied all the things that the pagan religions of the time, it's very, very bad things. Of course, we have many things very similar these days, so don't feel more superior to them. There's lots of people who do really bad things now. So, but these guys promoted a lot of really bad ideas, but they did it as a priest. Okay? And there's a lot of people today who promote really bad ideas as a priest. They act holy and say things that make them sound holy, but what they actually espouse is evil, oftentimes. Let's see. So his voice is the voice of the dragon, which is the voice of lies. Okay, it's deceptive. He appears innocent and docile, but we know that that's not the case because he speaks as a dragon. Let's see, verse 12. He exercises all authority over the authority of the first beast in his presence, and he makes earth and those who dwell in it worship the first beast, whose fatal wound was healed. Okay. He's not superior to the first beast, but he modern day, I think you'd say he carries his water for him. He gets people in line, helps them. But we've been talking about this whole time here, I think. He promotes the emperors. They had these states, and in each one of these states, they had these priests or governors. We think of them as states. They were more like communes, I guess, but each of them was responsible for making sure that everybody in that area paid their taxes to the Caesar and followed the Caesar and did what the Caesar said, okay? And they were responsible for making sure that Caesar was worshipped. Let's see. They took care of everything. Has anybody ever seen one of the coins that they used at this time? The denarii. On the denarii, they have writing. And money at the time of the Caesars in the Roman Empire was a form of idol worship. You know how on our coins it says, "In God we trust"? On their coins it said, "In the Most High," whoever the Caesar happened to be at the time. They had several phrases that they would put on their coins that was a form of idol worship. They were saying that the Caesar was God. And these people were responsible for, you know, minting these currencies and making sure that they were spread throughout the government and or throughout the world. Did the Romans or did the Jews in Jesus' time, did they have to use Roman currency? Does anybody know? Only if they were dealing with Romans. Okay, yeah, if they wanted to make money off Romans, they had to use Roman coins. Okay, and the Roman coins were a form of idol worship. So whenever Jesus tells them to show him what the coins, show him the denarii, and they show him that denarii, and it says on there, I don't know if it was a Caesar at the time or whatever, the Most High, and he says, you know, whose image is on it? It's more than a... The Jews had their own money. They didn't have to use the Roman coins. Okay? But one of the things about using the Roman coins is if they didn't use the Roman coins, they couldn't deal with Romans. And if they used the Roman coins, they had to pay the Roman tax on those coins. Okay? So whenever they show him the coin and it says to worship that God, it's a condemnation of the Jews. It's not just pay your taxes, it's you're worshiping this God. Okay? There's more there, I think, than what we commonly think of. There's it says, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Well, that coin says that Caesar's a God and you're worshiping him, you're following him. You know, is what he's telling them at that time, I think. That's part of it. Because they didn't have to use them. They had their own coins. And there was a lot of their society that was built around worshiping that man and putting him up as a god. Much like in the Egyptian society, there was a lot of their society that was all centered around making that person out to be a god. Let's see. So if you have a religion that says worship this man and these 15 or 20 other gods, them too, but worship that man, and then you have another religion that comes along that says worship God and his son, do you think they'd be in conflict? And they were. And that was why the Romans killed so many Christians. They used both the political and the religious forces in the state to persecute the Christians. So it was, like it says, the two horns. It was both the government and the religious community persecuted the Christians at this time. Okay. Now, were the men told to worship these priests? They weren't. They were told to worship that other beast, the emperor. Okay. The pagan priests, they backed the Roman Empire, and they insisted that the men worship the emperor. And like I said, it was all the way down to their coins. I mean, there was a, let's see, let's look at 13 and 14. He performs great signs so that even makes fire come down out of the heaven to the earth in the presence of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs which was given him to perform in the presence of the beast, telling those that dwell on the earth to make an image of the beast who had the wound of the sword and has come to life. They're false signs. They're lies. The next few verses says he says he deceives. Okay. See, the one who's slain and now lives, who's that, do you think that refers to?
Charles said last week, Nero died, and they had a little break before Domitian.
Yeah, I don't know how to say, I mean, it's Italian, so I don't know if I should do the Ion or whatever. But yeah, whatever that guy's name is, Domitian, okay? Or Domitian. Much like the Egyptians, and you see this repeated in pagan cultures, once one pharaoh died, or Caesar, they had to have another one. Okay? You just can't have one, because they die. Contrary to, was it the Koreans who do that now, the North Koreans, and the immortal socialist leader of North Korea, who died, and now his son takes over? Wasn't he supposed to be immortal before he died? I think he was. I have a hard time remembering. There's so many of them. So. But these were the same. And you see that same sort of government worship, or worship of the leader of the government, that's one of the things that's characteristic of socialism, is the worship of whoever the leader is. Not all socialism, but some socialism, like the North Koreans in particular, worship their leaders. Okay, the Chinese worship Mao, or did at one point. Not to the extent to, I don't know, the Koreans might call him God, I'm not sure. It's been a while since I looked at them. But they hold them to, they act like they're gods or something. Let's see. So anyway, Nero died, and then Domitian, yeah, I don't know how to say that either, took over. And so now they have to worship him, so all their coins have to be changed, I'm pretty sure.
And he persecuted the Christians the same way that Nero did.
Yes, he did. How long were the Christians persecuted by these Caesars? Does anybody know? Roughly 300 years, until one of them thought that he could gain some benefit from them. So,
well, Constantine became a Christian. I mean, of course, it was a corrupted thing by the end.
Yeah, yeah. And how much of that was Constantine, and how much of it was, yeah, because the church that he became a part of bears a striking resemblance to the Roman Empire. So, toward the end of his, I hate saying this guy's name, Domitian. Okay, how's that? Okay, he became. He used to start his letters with, "Our Lord God instructs you to do this." He wasn't talking about God; he was talking about himself. He also, Lord God became his regular title in writings and conversation. You know, if you were talking to him, you'd have to address him as Lord God. And he expected that. What do you think happened to you if you didn't do it? You probably got killed. Yes. He had images of him were made of gold. They made images of him of gold and put them all over the place. But they couldn't be small images. Okay. They had to be big images, because they had to be of a certain weight, or else they weren't good enough for him. Okay, so he had images placed all over himself, and they were all had to be of a certain size at least. Okay, and nothing couldn't be small, or else you'd be offending him. Okay, because he was their God after all. But somebody with that kind of a complex, how do you think people felt about him? Yes, yeah. People usually get really scared of people who think that they're a God on earth that is going to kill people, you know. The Jews wanted Jesus to be that. They wanted him to come back and be God on earth that killed people. That's not what Jesus was, okay? He was God on earth that saves people. But the Roman rulers were much like what the Jews actually asked for, kind of, I think, or what they thought they were going to get, okay? They were God on earth that killed people. They killed a lot of people, okay? What do you think they did with all his banners and portraits and stuff after he died? Think they kept him around? Yeah. There was a mass purge. They took them down. They destroyed all of them. After Domitian or whatever his name is, after he died, the Roman senators had made a decree. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Well, in this instance, they actually made a decree that all of his images be torn down and smashed. Okay? And like in Iraq, whenever they took down Saddam, what happened? He was such a brutal leader, okay, that they went through there and they destroyed all of his imagery and they tore down his statues and, you know, they really did a number on everything there when they overthrew him. Those people just really tore stuff up. They said that anything that referred to him had to be effaced and all records of his reign to be obliterated, which was not normal for a Roman emperor. They may have changed the statues out and stuff like that, but they didn't just wipe them out of their history records. Okay? And the Senate said, wipe him out. That's how bad he was. Okay? And the people were ordered by the second beast to build images to this person and worship him. Okay? Which is what they did until he died. Okay, he was given the power to cause the image of the beast to speak and cause those who did not worship him to be killed. And that's what we see when we see the Christians, how the Christians were dealt with. If you didn't worship this man, they killed you. I mean, do we see that happening today? Not here. Not here yet. But it is happening all over the world. People act like persecution doesn't happen to Christians anymore. Yeah, but it does happen here, but not to the extent it does overseas.
I think it's getting more into our social. It may not be law, but it's definitely becoming social. Like, in order to be considered tolerant, you don't just have to be nice to someone, but you have to accept that their opinion is right.
Yeah. The thing is that's a step. You delegitimize someone's position, and the next thing you do is you delegitimize the person, and the persecution escalates. If you can get past that first stage of dismissing their opinions, making their opinions not worth anything, then you can start making them not worth anything, and then you can. It follows a pattern. It's been shown before. It's nothing. There's nothing new going on there. And you see it in the colleges where they call anybody who, they call Christians Nazis. I mean, and they, if you're a conservative in any form, you can't speak. on a college campus anymore, hardly. I'm not saying that here in Texas, but in a large portion of the United States, that's true. They don't want people who are conservative to talk at all, much less Christians. No. But that's, you know, so that's something, this is the sort of stuff these people were told to, the end result, God wins. Okay? And that's what we need to keep in mind too. Even if we start to suffer persecution more like these people did, and I pray that we don't, but it may happen. Okay? It is happening around the world. There's Christians in other areas of the world who are being murdered for being Christian. Okay? It's been bad in Africa for quite some time. The Egyptians have been killing Christians. Any Muslim-controlled country, pretty much, they kill Christians. And not all of them, but the Syria, there's a lot of Christians killed. Exactly. Well, I take encouragement from our brothers that are overseas, and whenever they are persecuted, they stand firm, and many of them all the way to their death, and they refuse to renounce, and that's an encouragement to me, because they understand that, you know, they understand it's not about here, it's about there, okay. And that's something that we need to keep in mind. We didn't get very far. It appears that our time has ended. Am I off? Yeah, I'm off. Okay. It appears our time is up. Let's see. I don't see any kids yet.